This is Line Break, where we deconstruct poetry written by young writers and discuss the inspiration and intention behind their poems. Take a pause and enjoy the line breaks. Here's episode 25, where I talk with RoboJacket about his short story, K-8 and the Grand Reunion. I hope you enjoy.
My username on YWP is RoboJacket, so here we go. Rain poured down upon the ruined buildings around me. Vines grew out of the ugly concrete and decaying buildings. Gaudy golden statues that once stood high above everything else now lay on their side, torn down and rotting like a corpse in the streets. I must have been the only person around for miles. People avoided this place, some out of superstition, some out of anger for the past. Some were just ignorant. For me, this place was home. That white skyscraper standing that reaches for the clouds. A massive sign on the front of the building that read, Tengen Labs. Creating better men for a better tomorrow. That sure worked out well for them. I walked inside and went right for the bottom laboratory. That was where I had come from. My cell door was still shut tight, making sure nothing would ever get out. Again, look how well that worked out for them. Anyone who got the chance to escape this place took it and vowed never to come back. I leapt up and tore down a chest full of things that was stored above my cell. I brought it down and opened it up. On top of everything was a selection of... I have no idea what all this is for. Maybe they are torture devices that the people here forgot about? Whatever, I'll leave those here. Next up were worn-out bed sheets with more holes than not, and the thinnest pillow you'll ever see. I have a pillow already, and I use a sleeping bag rather than a bed. There's a toolkit down there. That's a good find. I can use this to repair my legs if needed. They might be rusted thanks to all the rain. They do feel a little stiff. The last thing is an old photograph of me and everyone else I was imprisoned here with. I looked at the photo, then at the two bodies nailed to the wall. Eyes hollowed out and bodies completely pale. I miss you guys.
Hey, thank you so much. That's so great. So, what was your inspiration for this story?
I had a few different inspirations. One of them was the Escape from Furnace book series, and another was just kind of the general post-apocalyptic wandering stories, but like, not the traditional Mad Max, something is always exploding, hence I wanted to do something different than that, something quieter, and sort of cosmic horror in general.
It's so interesting for me when I read like apocalypse stories, because I feel like each author takes on a very different like idea of what a post-apocalyptic world would look like. So it's so interesting to see how like their different ideas and worlds come to life and how there are similarities and differences between the two. You've turned this story into a podcast, which is super cool. What was the decision behind that?
This short story in particular, the first one, was originally meant to be kind of a standalone thing, but I did a writing group and shared it, and people liked it a lot, and they also liked the way I read it, so I figured, why not go for more? This whole thing was actually sort of based on another much longer story I did called K-8 and the Overlord, which I submitted for a different writing contest. The podcast has very little in common with the original except some character names and places, and specifically the main character, Kate. And also Tengen Labs is still there, but it's pretty different. It was more of a religious cult in the original story, but now it's more like a bigger science cult thing.
So have you found that you like reading the story out loud as much as writing it? And in a way, do you think that you kind of become or act out the characters as you're reading their narratives?
I do kind of feel like I can act out Kate pretty well, but I have hired some voice actors to do the other characters. I'm not super great at doing different voices. I never really feel totally satisfied with the way my voice sounds on camera. Whenever I listen to my recordings back, I'm like, oh God, I sound bad, don't I?
Like, yeah, you know that feeling? I get that all the time, especially when I'm listening back to these podcasts. Because I feel like there's always something I say and I'm like, oh, that voice is just so cringy.
Yeah.
And sometimes my grammar is just like out the door. It's like, grammar? What is that? That's not used here.
Yeah, I stumble over words sometimes, but thankfully I can just cut those parts out.
Yeah, that's the best part about editing, is just chop, chop, chop.
Yeah.
So you mentioned voice actors. What has that experience been like working with them? And do you find that their voices match the voices of your characters, or do they sound different from what you had imagined?
They tend to sound kind of different from what I imagine. I generally don't really workshop it into like a super specific thing. I'll just kind of settle on a general idea of what I was looking for, partly because my voices tend to be, the voices I imagine in my head for these characters are either like transplanted from someone else or just kind of weird and impossible to do in real life. Like some voices sound just kind of echoey. Like one character's voice is meant to sound like kind of this echoey, weird, nightmarish thing. And also we're over Zoom and it already can take them a while to record their lines since they're busy. So occasionally I've just been like, okay, you know what? That's good enough. We're putting it in. I just want to get this thing done.
Yeah, I get that. Sometimes just getting it out quickly instead of really trying to make it perfect. That's really interesting that you work with them. I think it's cool that you've expanded to include other people and other voices as well in your podcast. So in this story, there's a big sense of setting and like a creepy abandoned laboratory with secrets and bodies and all of that stuff. How did you develop the setting and were there any places or experiences that you based off of?
I guess I was kind of basing it off like walking around in the woods and finding some weird random stuff, but that's more kind of how the subsequent series plays out. Like this is much more explicitly creepy than that.
Yeah, it's very creepy.
Thank you.
In a good way, though. I think that if you're going to go for a creepy story, then you have to have a creepy setting.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes the setting doesn't really match the story or the plot, and then it's not a good book.
For the setting, I was kind of going for something almost quiet, creepy, and peaceful. Like, it's different from other post-apocalyptic settings, or at least I try to make it different from other post-apocalyptic settings in that people have kind of moved on. Like, it's not like everyone's just alone or a weird mutant or a crazy wanderer like in the Mad Max series. We see some pretty normal cities and functioning societies throughout the story and just people kind of living their lives. Like, the world has collectively moved on from this apocalypse, but there's still something very, very wrong.
You know, as you were just saying that, it made me think that in a way that's almost what I imagine life to be like after the whole pandemic, you know, where people have moved on, but there are still definitely traces of it and like the effect that it had on people.
Yeah.
I think it'd be interesting to write like a story about what would happen after the pandemic once we have vaccines and once all these other things have happened. I don't write a lot of fiction or science fiction. But I think I just get so many cool ideas and then I just want to write them.
I know how that feels. I sometimes have a hard time sticking to one idea.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you do that, like this is just a tip for you and people writing the podcast, find a character that you really like and follow them.
Yes, that's another question I had. How did you find the character for this and the like very distinct voice?
Well, Kate herself was sort of inspired by the character Melinda from the book Speak, but in a more post-apocalyptic setting. In that book, Melinda feels like she can't talk, but in this one, Kate literally cannot talk. And sort of the more sarcastic elements of the character Jeff from Suicide Notes. The metal legs, I thought, were kind of an interesting idea to give a character because it's like it can be used for fighting, but it's also sort of a utility thing. And also sometimes Kate's rants are just like what I would probably do in this situation.
Yeah, I think a lot of writing about characters and writing from their perspective is just kind of taking your own perspective and then switching it up a little bit. Did you sort of do like a background information on her where you wrote like where she grew up, what her childhood was like, what her parents were like, that kind of thing? Because I've seen or heard from other writers that they do that for every single character, like all this information about them before they even start writing.
I had like a general idea of where Kate came from, and I still kind of do, but I don't like to make notes as much. Like, if I write a detailed outline of everything that's going to happen, I'm just going to get bored. What I do is, like, I usually have an outline of, okay, this character is going to have, like, this arc. We're going to kind of start here, maybe have some of these plot points, and then end here. But other than that, I kind of make things up as I go.
I find that plot is the most difficult thing for me when I'm writing fiction, because there's just so many directions that I can go in, and I want to go in every single one. And it's so difficult for me to just pick, like, one sort of main idea. So, a few more questions. We're just talking about character and the voice of your narrator. And speaking of characters, what books have shaped you as a writer and human being?
I already mentioned the Escape from Furnace series. That was kind of my first, whoa, books can be cool moment. And a lot of the imagery has definitely stuck with me, and I tried to carry some of it over into this series. I guess the book Suicide Notes kind of stuck with me, mainly for its characters, which I thought were interesting. And I guess Six of Crows is my favorite book of all time, and that's like the book I aim to match in quality.
That's really great. I think it's good that you can pick certain parts out of different books, like a character you like, or a plot that you like, or a setting that you like, and then sort of combine it into your own story. And what authors in particular do you think have inspired you to write and continue writing?
Well, Leigh Bardugo wrote Six of Crows. Actually, I forget this author's name. He's a Japanese man. He's done some really good work. Ichiro Oda, he has done some really, really impressive world building, and he's been working on the same comic since the 90s, and it's like still considered really, really good, which is pretty impressive.
Definitely. I've always been really in awe of people who have had like really long-term projects like that, where they just like stay in the same world, really. Do you have the same world that appears in multiple stories? Like, do you return to the same setting multiple times, or do you kind of try to have a different setting for each story?
I tend to have a different kind of setting for each story, but like in my head, I do have some of the stories connected. There's a future sci-fi story that I'm working on that's supposed to be like a far, far, like millions of years in the future version of this. Some of the stories that take place a little before this. I don't know if that answers your question, actually, but I generally don't return to like the same universe unless it's like characters within that universe, like a prequel or a spinoff or something.
I feel like I kind of always sort of put my characters in the same kind of world, or there's always the same kind of stores and that kind of thing. But it's cool to branch out and try new settings and new worlds, see how that inspires you. The descriptions in this piece are really vivid. Some lines that stick out to me are, rain poured down upon the ruined buildings, vines grew out of the ugly concrete and decaying buildings. For me, this place was home. Anyone who got the chance to escape this place took it and vowed never to come back. So what was the first line or scene that you thought of, and how did you work from there?
Well, the first scene that I thought of was Kate being like inside the building and reminiscing over the photo of her friends. And then her walking through the rain towards the ruined building with like all this weird and just creepy stuff around her. And then in the final scene where K-27 is impaled on the sword, I was thinking like, oh yeah, that could be a good way to defeat him. And just kind of a good bit of irony. He is literally defeated by the thing he worships.
And what line or scene felt like the turning point, or like you had finally captured what you were imagining?
I don't know if there was ever really a turning point where I felt like I captured what I was imagining. I'm not even totally sure if I feel like I got it. Maybe the final line?
Yeah, I think that a lot of times when I write stories in general, I feel like I never really get to a turning point, and that kind of discourages me from continuing them, or like from even liking them at all or sharing them. But what's interesting is that I found one of my stories that I wrote for a midterm project for my English class last year or the year before. And the assignment was to write like a 2-page paper, a 2-page story. And I wrote a 25-page story. So I went like way further than what was needed. But I was reading it back and I was like, you know, I actually really like this. So it's cool that I found a story that I had finished and actually enjoyed. Because that's what I want all of my stories to be like, of course.
Yeah, I just totally avoid going back to my old work because I'm worried I'll just be like, oh god, what was I thinking?
Oh yeah, me too. Like, I found a ton of notebooks when I was clearing out the space under my desk, which is just a mess. Terrible, terrible. And I was reading some stories that I wrote in middle school, and I was like, this is so like cliche and terrible and
And like, my stuff was more so just like edgy, dark, and weird for the sake of it.
Mm-hmm.
But mine also was terrible.
Mine was definitely like copying off of every single book I had ever read. And I don't think a lot of it was like genuinely from me. It was more just like what I thought a book should sound like. It was really weird though, because I feel like I always went back to the same character who was basically me. I think that's cool when you can see how the authors put little bits of themselves within their characters. Do you find that you do that as well, where you put little traits that you have in the characters that you write about?
For sure. I think it's ended up helping me a lot. Like, Kate especially, like, honestly, some of her rants where she just is ranting at herself for being an idiot, like, that is just what I do and how I feel sometimes.
Yeah, for sure. I think that, let me think back to my own writing. I don't know. For the most part, when I write poetry, a lot of it is about me. But when I write fiction, I think that I put just a tiny bit of myself in each character, like a tiny little flaw or a tiny little thought that I would have that they can then like catapult off of. How did you first get into writing?
I think I always kind of had a passion or interest in it. And by that, I sort of mean, I do not remember exactly where I started. I guess the first thing I can remember is like when I was in first grade writing like really bad Toy Story fan fiction, basically.
So have you always been interested in that kind of like creepy horror story type of writing?
Not quite always, and it's not quite my sole intention. I generally tend to prefer more action-oriented stories, and one of my goals is to get into movies, and I think I'd actually like to make some kids' movies, which might come as a surprise if this is all you've seen.
That's really cool. It's so interesting that you want to have such different, like, diverse writing in your life. I think it's great, too, that you want to expand on it. I've been thinking about writing for movies too. I think it'd be really cool to see your book or your writing come to life and like this world and these characters that you've created. But in a way, I feel like I wouldn't want to see my book as a movie because then it'd be like, oh, these details aren't exactly how I had pictured in my mind. Oh.
Yeah, I feel like that even with like adaptations of books. I have had moments where I see stuff I like adapted and I'm like, and just looking through the trail, I'm like, That's wrong. What the hell is that? Wait, who is that supposed to be? Like, why is that happening?
Exactly.
Like, you know that
me
feeling?
Me too. Like, wait. No. She was wearing a blue dress here in the book. It was a red dress.
Yeah.
I get really, like, particular about details in, like, book-to-movie adaptations. And that's why I don't watch a lot of them. I say this every single time, but they just freak me out. I can't do it. Like, I haven't seen The Book Thief or The Fault in Our Stars because those are two of my favorite books, and I do not want to ruin them just by watching the movies because I watched Paper Towns, which is a John Green book originally, and it was just a terrible movie. It was horrible. It was, like, dark the entire time. You couldn't see the characters. They had the plot all messed up, and I was not happy with it.
Yeah, that's got to be annoying. I have not seen a lot of book-to-movie adaptations. Usually, whenever I do see them, I always tend to enjoy them, like, even if they're bad, like, the Maze Runner adaptations. I thought those were just kind of, like, dumb fun, at least. Like, yeah. Even if you don't know what's going on, it's still cool to see some scenes adapted.
Yeah, definitely, because it's like, oh, wow, I had pictured this in my mind. So, yeah. What draws you to fiction instead of poetry or another form of writing?
Well, it's a desire to tell stories, I suppose. I just enjoy doing that. There's not much more to it. I enjoy watching others read about them. I enjoy making them up.
That's great. So one of my writing sort of teachers, I was in like a summer writing program this past summer, and our instructor had given us a few prompts. And one of the questions was, why do you love to write? And the other one was, why are you terrified to write? And it was so interesting to think like, wow, why do I love to write? And why am I terrified to write? How do you think you would answer those prompts?
Why do I love to write? Well, I love having other people see my work, and it's honestly kind of satisfying to see people like panic if a character is about to die, or be happy when the characters are happy, or be sad when they're sad. Like, that's like, I guess, a way of me feeling noticed. I don't know if that's like narcissistic or anything, but, and why I'm terrified of writing, because people will judge me and find my work terrible, and I will be the subject of like 2-hour deconstruction videos on YouTube about why my thing sucks. Part of what I have learned about writing is watching videos like that. So
that's basically what everyone in my class said, was that they're just terrified to write because of judgment and what other people might think of their writing. And in a way, I absolutely agree with that. I think that that's definitely my main like concern about my writing, is that what are other people going to think about this? Are they going to think it's good? Are they going to think it's bad? And if they think it's bad, I'm automatically going to think it's bad too. you know, even if I had liked it originally, in my mind it's going to change forever. But in another way, I feel like that's kind of completely ridiculous to let what other people think kind of determine what you think of your own writing, because it's from you, and so you should love it. And you shouldn't really let other people decide how what you think of your own writing and things that you create. that's my lesson of the day.
That's definitely a nice sentiment, but it is easier said than done.
I know, definitely. Like the major thing that's easier said than done is like not listening to what others say about you. So a few more light questions about writing. How did you find your voice as a writer?
I don't know. I don't really know how I found my voice as a writer, and I'm still not entirely sure what people mean when they say that. I'm like, is it like you can tell it's me? Is it because it's good? It's just like, I'm just writing and trying to do my best and trying to make something unique. So I don't know how I found my voice. I just had it.
I think that's the case for a lot of people, where they just either have it from the beginning or they kind of figure it out along the way. And I don't think it's something that you have to figure it out immediately. I think it's definitely something that you can figure out gradually. Or maybe you won't ever figure it out. Maybe you'll just know in your heart that it's right. So yeah. How did you discover YWP, and what role does it play in your life?
I discovered it fairly recently as kind of a tool to get my writing out there and get myself noticed. Yeah, I have not interacted with it a lot. Like this podcast and that first open mic night where I met you, that was like my first big interaction with this.
That's great. I'm so glad that you're new and that you're liking it so far. There are so many really interesting things that we're doing, that YWP does, and it's so cool to see different writing and voices come out. So first, what did you think of the open mic?
I thought it was fun.
That's good. I'm really glad. A lot of people said that they liked it, so I'm glad that it was a success.
Open mics are always fun.
Yeah. What is your experience like at open mics? And do you find that at first, are you kind of nervous to read, or have you always felt natural sharing your work?
It's a little nerve-wracking to read, but once I kind of get into the flow of it, it all works out. And people do tend to like my work. Like, I have not had a major crash and burn disaster yet. Or if I had, people have been nice enough to just keep silent.
I think you did really well at the open mic, and I think that it's definitely good that you can get into the rhythm and then start reading. I haven't really shared a lot of my writing lately, because I think that sometimes I almost just forget to, and other times I just don't have a lot of inspiration. But where does most of your inspiration come from, besides books and other things that you've read?
Movies and anime, mostly. Like, a lot of my inspiration comes from other media. Like, just a tip for other writers who might be listening, if you're looking for inspiration, go to the library, find the weirdest sci-fi, fantasy, or drama movie you can find, and watch that. Even if it's bad, you'll at least have something interesting to remember. I just try and do that, find a bunch of weird, kind of dark, kind of sometimes creepy or even bad movies, just because they're interesting. That'll give you ideas.
That's really great advice. I've heard that too, like to just find weird stuff that you may like and you might not like, and just kind of figure out what your overall vibe is, I guess. What are some of your favorite movies to watch?
One of my all-time favorites is the movie Red Line. It's an anime movie, and it is two very big action scenes that bookend a series of weird characters and psychedelic imagery themed around 1980s action anime. And another favorite is the 2008 Speed Racer movie, which is also kind of that, but it's made for kids, so it's not nearly as violent. And man, that final scene, it's honestly one of my favorite movie scenes ever. And I think my third favorite movie is Captain America Civil War, which, great acting all around, great action, great characters.
Oh yeah, that's really cool that you have a very diverse list of movies that you like. I would say my favorite movies, I'm kind of a rom-com freak. I like a lot of 90s rom-coms where it's really sappy and cheesy and like, so unlikely to happen, like as if you would be like listening to the radio one night and hear some guy come on in Seattle and then fall in love on top of the Empire State Building. I mean, I love that movie, Sleepless in Seattle, by the way, but I don't think it's very likely in real life. Yeah. It's very sappy. It's not action at all. It's just like, oh my gosh, they fell in love. But
I enjoy that kind of stuff too sometimes.
Yeah, honestly, I think that as much as I do like a really good plot, a really good storyline, a really good like writing and screenplay and all that, I really just kind of like good stories and heartfelt endings and stuff like that at the end of movies. I think that sometimes that's more important than having like a really well-written movie.
Yeah.
Just the emotion is better than the writing at some point.
Yeah. Good characters and good emotion sometimes elevate a movie a lot.
Mm-hmm. And I say that, honestly, that's kind of the same for books too, where you can have a somewhat iffy plot, but if you have good characters and good emotions, then it'll be good. It'll come through and people will like it. But at the same time, I think that plot is pretty important to the book.
That's definitely important, mm-hmm. but I think characters are the most important thing in a book for me, or mm-hmm. any story, honestly. Do you agree, or do you think plot is more important?
See, this is a debate that I've thought a lot about, surprisingly, actually. But I think that characters are more important than plots. I'm kind of hesitant to say one way or the other because I know I'm going to change my mind, but I think that characters definitely are what people remember more than plots, because like if you think about, I don't know, the Harry Potter series, for example, everyone knows Harry Potter and the characters in that series, and they're obsessed with them, right? They always remember the characters, and maybe they don't remember every single detail of the plot, but they remember every single detail of the character. And so I think that characters definitely stick with the readers more than the plot, but the plot is pretty important. Would you ever publish a novel, and what would the title be?
I would publish a novel, and I am not sure what a title would be because I'm constantly changing ideas. I also might want to make one into like a movie or a TV show or an audio drama or something different. One idea I'm kind of working shopping in my head is called Demon Son, which is about the descendant of a Dark Lord and how he's being hunted down relentlessly by a bunch of Knight Templars, basically.
I think I definitely have to see what my book is like before I title it, but it sounds really fun and really, really interesting. You should definitely share it on YWP so that people can read it and give you their thoughts. So, one last question. What was the best writing advice that you've ever gotten, and what writing advice would you give to someone else?
I guess make sure your characters are likable. Just, I can't think of any big specific piece of writing advice I've ever gotten that like completely blew my mind. If you can't make a story good, at least make it memorable. Take like the craziest, weirdest, stupidest idea you have in your head and do that. Because weird media, it tends to be what sells and works.
That's good advice. Make it weird. So, let me think. Well, this is actual advice from a songwriting class that a songwriting workshop that I took a while ago. And I was asking, like, how do you make a song catchy? Which is like the ultimate question related to songwriting. And the guy who was leading the workshop said that if you like the song, or in this case, piece of writing, then other people will like it. So if you're ever doubting, like, are people going to like this poem? Are they going to like this story? Then just think, well, do you like it? Okay, then other people will like it. And I think it's good to have that kind of confidence that what I like, other people will like. But I mean, not like in an arrogant way, just like trusting yourself. And writing advice I would give was that. So
trust yourself.
Yeah, trust your writing and trust that, you know, it's good and you don't have to doubt it and get down on yourself about it. So with that being said, thank you so much for being on the podcast today. Had a really fun time talking with you about your writing and books and movies and all sorts of different things.
Yeah, it was great to come on here. I'm glad I got to meet and talk with you today.
This has been episode 25 of Line Break. I hope you enjoyed and stay tuned for episode 26. Bye!